The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR. 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Watching us on PCTV Select and on 1301 Access Pittsfield on your cable system. Welcome. Welcome to the show this morning. Sean Sayre here with you. It's a Thursday, September 25th this morning, and glad to have you on board for the show. Looking forward to a great conversation with Mr. Bob Dean. He's here representing Berkshire Harm Reduction and also BCAC's HEAP program, the Home Energy Assistance Program. Going to be talking about both of those items today on the show. Very useful and good information for everybody to have, and welcoming Bob back on the show. It comes on every once in a while to remind us of these very important programs here in our community. We're going to talk about how you can qualify for the HEAP program, what it does, and the application process and all that stuff happening right now, by the way. So if you're interested in any of those details, you want to stick around for the program this morning and soak all of that up. First, let's get to the weather forecast. Speaking of soaking things up, it is quite socked in out there and drizzling, raining. I think we're going to get a wet one today and maybe part of tomorrow. And then I'm hearing a very nice weekend coming up. So let's get that forecast right now from the National Weather Service and see what we have in store for us today. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Patchy fog. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Thursday, patchy fog in the morning. Showers. A chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain near 100%. Thursday night, cloudy. Showers with a chance of thunderstorms in the evening, then a chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
There it is. We haven't had a wet forecast like that in a while, and we needed it. It was dry out there. You could tell from all of the dry lawns and everything. It was quite messy out there for sure. Not bad. We'll get some nice weather again the weekend. It sounds like that wasn't in this forecast that you just heard, but I was hearing it was going to be a quite nice late summer, early fall weekend. All right, welcome again to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, and welcome my guest Bob Dean. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm great, Sean. How are you today?
I'm good. Just working on my camera work here. Not very good this morning as I'm starting out. We're chatting a little before the program, so now I've got to figure all that out. But that's okay. We'll get there.
While you're doing that, I just want to say congratulations on a great annual meeting.
Oh, well, thank you.
Last week. That was a great meeting. Some good comedy there.
Well, you know, anyone who's ever gone to one of the PCTV and WTBR annual meetings knows, you know, we have to take care of business. We're a nonprofit organization. Every nonprofit has their annual meeting that they have to do as a part of the requirement. But then we do a little celebration and we give out some awards to very deserving volunteers, people who do good work here at the facility. And then, of course, we try to have a little bit of fun. So, It's good for the price of admission, which is zero. You get what you get. So thanks for that. And so we've got a couple of things to talk about here this morning, and one of them being the Home Energy Assistance Program, or HEAP, previously known to people as LIHEAP. So if you're wondering what we're talking about and you've heard that word before, that's what it used to be called. It's now the Home Energy Assistance Program. That's something that's administered here locally by BCAC, correct?
Yes.
Yep. And has been for decades.
Oh, this is one of the great society programs, I believe. So we're talking early, mid-60s.
Yeah. And what's the purpose of the program?
Well, the purpose is to help households to pay for some of their, here in New England, their heating costs. Mm-hmm. In places such as the South or Texas, it could be able to help those households pay for some of their air conditioning mm-hmm. costs. And the program guidelines are determined based on a household's combined income and the number of members in the household. So as we sit here today, Sean, BCAC has mailed out 8,000 applications to 8,000 households who benefited from the program last year.
Okay.
And what we're asking those households to do, those 8,000 households, is to fill out that application as best you can and to get it back to BCAC so that BCAC can begin to process those 8,000 applications.
Yeah. And that's a load of work, right?
Yes.
That is a lot of applications.
Yeah.
Fair to say that is the most efficient way right now under the current circumstances that we're in, and we all know what those are, to make sure that you can get in the queue, if you will,
yes.
for that energy assistance help,
yeah.
right?
And because of the magnitude of what BCAC is doing right now in terms of all those applications, hopefully they're coming in, that BCAC is devoting all of its staffing to processing those applications. So if someone calls BCAC, they're going to have to leave a message.
Yeah.
And we're asking people to, if they have a question regarding the application they received this year, to do the best they can. To complete it and get it in to, as you said, Sean, get it in that queue so that BCAC staff can begin to process it. If they need more information, they will let you know. And the goal is to have these applications approved, people determined eligible, so that come November 1st, when heating fuel season starts, people will be able to get whatever amount they're determined eligible for. Of course, as you said, with everything going on, it's currently unknown what amounts people would be eligible for, but please don't let that stop you from getting that application in the mail back to BCAC with your signature and as much information as you can provide so that we can start on it. And we want people to be determined eligible, or if not, they can give us additional information that we'll tell them we need all by November 1st.
Yeah. And it may not seem like it yet because here we are on September 25th, and I don't think most people have turned on their heat yet. It's been pretty nice. There are some times in September, you know, getting close to October 1st, where we get a few cold days and the heat comes on. We haven't really had that too much yet here. We've been very, you know, lucky to have that kind of weather. But as soon as that cold snap comes, you realize that we're in heating season, right? And you don't want to go too far into the heating season knowing that you might need some of this assistance to carry you through the rest of the year. Yeah. That's really the point. It's like, hey, you might be able to handle things as October comes through and maybe early November, and then suddenly, you know, the white stuff comes down and it gets cold and you're in for it, right? You're going to have a long winter of dealing with those bills.
Yeah. And in terms of somebody who's listening to us today or otherwise hearing information about the program who has not applied before and therefore did not get one of those 8,000 applications, we are encouraging those people to call BCAC, people who are new to the program, new applicants, to call BCAC, leave a message, and we will get back to them. And in terms of people who are not familiar with the program can help pay for whatever is a household's primary source of heating the home. So it's not just oil, gas, electric, but it could be propane, it could be pellets, it could be wood, it could be coal.
Yeah.
Whatever is the primary source of heating the home, the program can pay for if a household's eligible. And we do have the new guidelines this year. A household of two can have a combined income of $67,709 and be eligible. A household of four can have a combined income of $99,573 and be eligible. Also,
so it's going to put a lot of people in play, right?
Yes.
I mean, those numbers are very, very, you know, on target for a lot of Berkshire County homes. If you're looking at that number and you're saying, I qualify for that, don't hesitate, right?
Yes.
If you've got an application that came in the mail because you had done it before and you're hesitating, thinking, oh, there might not be money this year, or I wouldn't qualify or whatever, don't think that way, right? That's the point.
Don't rule yourself out. You know, in human services, we hear that all the time. Mm. Somebody will say, oh, I don't think I'll be eligible. Or someone will say, I don't want to take that from someone else. Mm-hmm. This money, when whatever amount is allocated, mm-hmm. is for the Berkshires.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we spend all of it in the Berkshires. We don't want to send any back because mm-hmm. then the impression is, oh, they don't need it in the Berkshires. So you're not taking from anyone else. You're not, you know, don't rule yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Apply. And a lot of times we hear people, they didn't think they'd be eligible. They applied and they are eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, once someone's eligible for fuel assistance, if the utility bill, the electric bills in the same name as the head of household for the BCAC application, mm-hmm. we can help them get a discount on the utilities as well.
Mm.
And so that's another reason for people to get these apps in so we can mm-hmm. begin the process.
Yeah, and this money will make the difference for a lot of people in terms of what they're paying for and what they're choosing to do, right? So, you know, basically strip it right down. There are people that are making choices between heating their house over the winter and buying food.
Yes.
Or doing other necessary things, paying other living expenses, right?
Yeah.
And so that's, this assistance sometimes can be the difference between having to make that choice.
That's what we hear. And the program is not designed to pay someone's entire household heating
Correct.
Bill for the winter.
Yeah.
It's an amount that, as you said, can definitely help. And the other thing, too, is if people are having trouble making oil payments or this or that, when BCAC calls that oil company and says or transmits to mm-hmm. them that somebody's been approved for X number of dollars,
mm-hmm.
they'll deliver the oil
mm-hmm.
because they know that BCAC will you know, is good for it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to help households supplement, you know,
yep.
what is already a stretch income, the high cost of food and all these other mm-hmm. high costs, that this is a way that, you know,
yeah.
to stretch a little bit of that. Anyway.
Yeah, especially now we know that costs for everything else are going up and energy costs
yeah.
have also gone up in some ways. I don't know. I haven't seen an oil bill myself
yeah.
this year, but I'm seeing the gas prices rise. So usually yeah. when you see that, sometimes the oil prices will go up along with it. And that's something that people are dealing with as well.
So a question I'm asked a lot is, you know, what type of household can be eligible?
Mm-hmm.
If you own the home, yes, you can be eligible. Mm. If you rent, yes, you can be eligible. Mm. If you rent and you have heat included, in certain circumstances, you can be eligible based on what you're paying for rent. If you're paying market rate rent and things like that. So again, we don't
because that way your fuel costs basically are worked into your
yes.
rent, so you're still paying it.
Right, mm-hmm. right, yeah. So again, we don't want people to rule themselves out. And for people who have not applied before, if they're listening today, we do encourage them to call BCAC, leave the message, I'm a new applicant, and BCAC will get back to them. And they will actually begin the application process right over the phone where they'll talk with the person. They'll get some basic information. They'll be, you know, BCAC will be completing or beginning an application while they're talking. And then they'll get that out
mm-hmm.
to the individual in the mail.
But the best advice this year, of course, is if you get that envelope in the mail, you're one of the 8,000 people
yeah.
who was previously in the program. Don't try and call. Try and fill that out for yourself and get it back in the mail.
Yes.
Right? And get that process going that way, because that will take the burden off of, you know, very sort of stressed out folks that are
yes.
trying to process all these things.
Yeah.
That is the most efficient way of getting that process going. If you have questions, you can call, as you said, and you may get a call back. You may not be able to get to a live person right away, and that's okay. Right?
You're not going to get a live person, and at this point, the callbacks I'm being told are going to potentially new applicants,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just because of the magnitude of what BCAC is trying to do right now to process all of these and get them ready.
Yep.
You know, help people begin to stay warm
yeah.
come November 1st.
Yep.
Now, starting October 1st, people can also go to the BCAC website and apply online through the portal.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you already received an application in the mail, do not apply on the portal as well, because you're only going to delay your when you might be determined eligible.
Now, we don't need to add new paperwork or new processing to find out, oh, why do we have two applications for this person?
Yeah.
Right? Do the paperwork. If the paperwork came in the mail, do that. That's important. Turn it around as quickly as you can. Right?
That's the message. Thank you much.
Yeah. And looking at the phone numbers here I've got from the flyer, we have Central and South County can call 413-445-4503.
Yep.
And in North County, if you're hearing us, that would be 663-3014. Those are the BCAC phone numbers to start that process. If you are a new or never been in the program, in the HEAP program before.
Yes. So
again, we're talking about the Home Energy Assistance Program, HEAP, previously known as LIHEAP. You might have heard of that. We're just sort of putting it out there so we know what we're talking about. And the application process is currently open. So here we are on September 25th, heating season right around the corner. And have those paper envelopes already hit people's mailboxes?
They should have by now. Mm-hmm. And people can also, they can put the application in the mail, or they can drop it off of one of the two BCAC locations. In Pittsfield, we're now at 14 Maplewood, which is right next to the old St. Joe's School. If you're facing the old St. Joe's School, BCAC's 14 Maplewood location is to the right.
That's the old library.
That's the old library.
Joe, right? The little building right next to it, right.
And then up in North Adams, it's 85 Main Street, second floor. So people
everybody
can go
knows
and,
where 85 Main Street is in North Adams.
So people can go and drop it off there if they don't want to mail. Also, both those locations have copiers, so people can make copies of certain things as well.
Yep. Well, it's not terribly complex of a process, right? And a lot of people will qualify for this program, as you said before, Bob Dean, that didn't think that they would qualify, right? And again, I'm looking at the flyer here, and I'll just go over the first couple. A family size of one, you're living alone.
Yep.
$51,777 of income, right, or less.
Yes.
So if you make that or less, you qualify. I mean, that's a pretty decent number. Family size of two, $67,709. Family size of three, $83,641. Family size of four, $99,573. There are no age limits or requirements to the program, right? You don't have to be 65 or older or anything
like
that.
Correct. It's based on income and household size.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a great program. And as we said, it's been here 50 plus years, and this program will continue to serve Berkshire County residents and continue to serve individuals across the country.
Yep. And we see news headlines all the time, year after year, not just this year, of our local delegations, our state delegation, federal delegation, fighting for these funds to make sure that they continue to come in to take care of folks that are making these hard choices. And you don't, if you can provide a little help to keep the heat on over the winter, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah. And our delegation has stood up strong, as you said, for years and years and decades. But it's unfortunate that we all have to spend all this political energy on a program that's so essential to so many Americans, no matter what your political affiliation.
Sure.
Americans across the country, whether it's, you need it to help with the cold in Massachusetts or with the heat in Texas or Arizona, Americans across the country utilize this program and rely on it. And I wish we could all agree on things like that anyway.
Yeah. You would think there would be a few things that we could agree on. Yes. Here we are.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've got the program. It's still here. You may still qualify, and don't rule yourself out. That was the that was the word I heard from Bob Dean here this morning on Morning Drive.
And the sooner that people are determined eligible, if the electric bill is in the name of the head of household, we can also help them get that discount. So they're fill it out as best you can and get it in.
And the payments also that come in, just so people know, they go directly to the energy company, right?
Yes.
That's the way that works.
Yes. That's a way to ensure that, for instance, the oil that, the truck will roll and come to your house because BCAC is saying we're going to be transmitting you X number of dollars for this household, this address.
Yeah.
And so they'll
So it becomes basically a credit on your account, and then
as
the oil is delivered, it comes back off of that. Yeah. If it's electricity over the course of the winter, your balance will adjust or whatever.
However that part works. Yeah. But yeah, the vendors are paid directly. But again, the program can help pay for whatever somebody uses as the primary source of heating their home. So not only the gas or electric, it can help with propane, coal, even wood.
Yeah.
So any of those things, if somebody uses that primary source of heating their home, please consider applying.
There certainly could be plenty of people listening to us this morning within the listening area of this station, both stations that we have now that are heating their home with wood or pellets. Certainly very common in certain areas.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite as much. Maybe in the center of the city, you're looking at more like oil or gas or electricity here for sure. Yeah. Bob Dean's my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. If you're just joining us, we were just discussing the HEAP program, the Home Energy Assistance Program through BCAC, talking about the application process. And just one last reminder on that. If you've got a application already in the mail, fill it out and send it in. That's the most efficient way. Don't even bother trying to call or do anything online. If you got the paper, do it. It seems like old school, but it's the right way to do it this year. And then if you're a new person to the program, never done it before, make the call. You may have to leave a message, and you'll get a call back, and they'll process you. That's the real message here this morning.
That's the real message, Sean. Thank you.
So let's move on, and we'll just reprise that at the end of the show, too, for people that maybe didn't tune in at the beginning. Let's move on to Berkshire Harm Reduction. That's a topic that you and I have discussed many times on this program also and over the past few years. And sort of give us a lay of the land, how Berkshire Harm Reduction was started, why it was started, what were the conditions when the program sort of took off, and you know, what's it going on right now? How are we doing compared to those early days?
Well, let me start where we are now and then maybe backtrack to some of that. Berkshire Harm Reduction was started and continues to have a mission of meeting individuals where they are, judgment-free, and providing services that can help reduce the harm of what someone's going to be doing, whether or not they come to Berkshire Harm Reduction.
Mm.
So we are able to do things such as collect used syringes. And as a result of that, this past year, we collected more than 500,000 used syringes from Berkshire County.
And just to give people an idea, too, we're talking about substance use disorder here, right?
Yes.
Berkshire Harm Reduction meant to reduce harm done by substance disorder.
Yeah. People who are using actively using substances. Mm-hmm. Yes, substances. What we see a lot is people using heroin, fentanyl, other opioids. But in terms of the syringe, we can take syringes from any individuals, whether they're whatever substances they are, as long as you know they're syringes. So we have a lot of people who have syringes, using for medical purposes and things like that. That'll bring them in. We've have people bring them in for. Yep. That they had to use for their pet.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly plenty of people that are using the self-injectable medications, right? And actually, there are very few places where you can dispose of those correctly. You certainly don't want to just throw them away in your trash. That is not
correct.
The right way to do it, right?
Yeah.
So Berkshire Harm Reduction is the place now to bring those back.
And because we for people, participants who are utilizing our services, they will bring in their used syringes because that's what they exchange for new unused syringes. Mm. And the program, again, took in more than 540,000 syringes last year, I think it was. And so those are syringes that are not in the playgrounds. Mm-hmm. They're not on the Ashawiltica Trail. And as you said, Sean, they're not in the trash where somebody could potentially, get pricked and with the needle, and that can cause all kinds of problems.
So that's 500,000 syringes in Berkshire County in 1 year.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
It's amazing.
I had no idea number.
It's a stunning number. Yeah. And in terms of for individuals who are actively using, we are then exchanging their used syringes for new unused syringes. And as a result, when people do not share syringes, they're also not sharing whatever STDs or hepatitis C or other things that they may have. So it's definitely a positive health initiative for all of Berkshire County that we're able to do this. And also when people come in that are actively utilizing certain substances, you know, we're able to over time develop a rapport, have a conversation with them. They will let us look at, you know, because a lot of times now when people are using the heroin fentanyl, there's that veterinary sedative xylazine mixed in with it, and that can create these open sores anywhere on the body, not necessarily where somebody's using. And so, you know, they'll let us look at those and maybe do some basic treatment. Maybe, you know, they need more, and we can help them to connect to where they can get additional wound care treatment. But there's just a lot going on with the supply and the dangers of it that it's really important for people to have a safe place where they can come and they can have honest, realistic conversations about what's going on and what they're using and things like that, so that we can, you know, help keep them safe.
Yeah. It's a problem that won't go away on its own, right? If we just stop thinking about it and don't have places for people to have these services, it's not going to get any better.
It hasn't. As a matter of fact, I was looking at some of the fatal overdose statistics this morning, and in 2010, Berkshire County had 4 fatal opioid overdoses in 2010. By 2020, 10 years later, that was up to 56 fatal opioid overdoses in Berkshire County. The next year, it went up to 62. Since then, we've been able to start to ratchet it down a little bit. It went, this past year, it was 41, which, 41 is pretty good compared to 56, right? But that's 41 people who died. That's 41 way too many. The other thing is, even as we're able to get that overdose number down, we remain the highest ratio in Berkshire County of fatal overdoses to population. So when you look at
compared to other counties in the state,
so when you look at per 100,000 residents statewide, it's 18.4 of every 100,000 residents. Here in Berkshire County, it's 31.9.
Oh wow!
So we still have a significant challenge ahead of all of us. And another thing that Berkshire Harm Reduction is able to do is if somebody brings in a tiny bit of what it is they used or they're going to use, we can do a test of it and we can tell them what's in it.
Because you don't know.
You don't.
Right. They don't know. You don't know until it's tested what's in this. It's an illegal drug supply, which means that there are no regulations, no controls. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know who's had their hands in it before that or what they've put in it, right? I mean, essentially, that's what's going on.
That's it, And basically, you know, the supply chain is such that whatever the substance is comes from one place, and then as it's distributed to people who are going to sell it, they're most likely putting other stuff in it to dilute the fentanyl so they can sell more.
Yeah, they have an incentive.
And what's the crap they're putting in it? A lot of it's crap. Like there's a plastic we find in it that seems to have no purpose other than it's filler and it's not good for you. They started putting the xylazine in it, the veterinary sedative, which now people have developed you know, an attraction for that as well. So it just is, it's a real challenge. And I think, you know, as you said, Sean, this is a disease. Substance use disorder is a disease. It's not merely a question of morals or internal fortitude or any of that stuff. This is a disease that what I've learned is it rewires our reward system. And as a result, we want more and more and more. And it takes a long time for someone's reward system to be rewired back. That's why people will have the setbacks. And when somebody is not using, even for a short amount of time, and if they go back out and they use, typically they're not announcing it. So they're using alone. And their tolerance has been reduced and is low. And if they try to use the same amount they used before and they're using alone, that's the combination for a fatal overdose.
Yeah.
And we even are aware of people who have had fatal overdoses in their own home when there's other people in the home who didn't know that they were using. So it's just tragic what we're seeing. And Berkshire Harm Reduction is trying to do what we can to help keep the harm as reduced in any way that we can.
Yeah.
Well, there we are.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain, you know, people have had long-held opinions about how this started and how it's gotten worse and where we are. We can talk a little bit about that after the break that we're going to take here at the top of the hour. But just to remind people, we are on Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Pittsfield, also 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And we're here with Bob Dean this morning talking about the Berkshire Harm Reduction Program and also the HEAP program, the Home Energy Assistance Program. We'll go back to that a little later in the show. But first, let's take that top of the hour break, Bob, and we'll be right back with our listeners right after this. Again, this Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
For over four decades, Berkshire AHEC has been serving the health education needs of Berkshire County. We offer Berkshire AHEC Health Scholars Program at BCC, medical and community interpreter training, continuing education for healthcare professionals, and the Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. For more information, visit our website, berkshireahec.org, or call us at 413-842-5160. Look for us on Facebook and Instagram.
Hello, wonderful people. This is your host, Tariq Pinkston, for the show. 30 minutes of inspiration coming on every Friday, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. So that 12:30 slot is a time to help fill cups, fill your gas tank, and just give you a reboot for the day. 30 minutes of inspiration coming on every Friday at 12:30 p.m. Fill the gas tank, and I hope to see you there every Friday, 12:30 p.m. here on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here. We are live this morning from our studios on Federico Drive in Pittsfield and Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you this morning, Thursday, September 25th, and Bob Dean is my guest this morning. We're going to continue our conversation about the Berkshire Harm Reduction Program and get into a few more of the details of that program that you should know. First, let's get to the weather forecast one more time here this morning, find out what the National Weather Service has on tap for us today. You're waking up, it's kind of a wet one out there, and I don't know if the fog has lifted since I've gotten into the studio, but it was definitely kind of socked in this morning when I got up here. Let's take a listen. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, patchy fog this morning. Showers. A slight chance of thunderstorms this morning, then a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain near 100%. Tonight, cloudy. Showers with a chance of thunderstorms in the evening, then a chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Friday, partly sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
So still in the 70s out there, but it is definitely wet, and we needed the rain. We all knew we needed the rain. That's okay. We're going to have some nice days over the weekend, and I don't know exactly about next week, but I hear it's going to be halfway decent. So, you know, you take it where you can get it before it gets too cold and before it's time for the heating assistance, right, Bob?
Yes.
do it while you can. Here we are again, a morning drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, and Bob Dean's my guest this morning. Bob, let's talk about some of the testing that Berkshire Harm Reduction can do, right? We sort of talked about that right before we went to break.
Yeah.
About the supplies that are coming in. People really don't know if they're using any of these substances. What's in the substances? They think they might know what's in them, but they really don't in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, and so for somebody who has been using opioids, whether it's heroin, fentanyl, for a while, they develop a tolerance to it. And as a result of that tolerance, they're able to use a certain amount, and it won't cause them to have an overdose. Mm. Somebody who has never used heroin, fentanyl, or uses it very infrequently, that's a different story. They have zero or no tolerance. Mm. And some of we have tested cocaine and have found fentanyl in the cocaine. And that's extremely dangerous because somebody who uses cocaine, no judgment, has zero tolerance to fentanyl. So if they were to have some of that in their system, that could be an overdose, potentially a fatal overdose. Mm. We have also tested and found down in Great Barrington, it was a while back, but we found opioid in a counterfeit crushed pill, the kind that, you know, like the younger crowd likes. Mm-hmm. So again, people can't be too careful. You've got to assume that fentanyl's in everything.
Mm. And that's because it's cheap and available, right? It's everywhere. It can be processed. It's not like it has to be grown somewhere else. It can be made anywhere in any lab, essentially, right?
And I think, Sean, when you were asking earlier about, you know, how did we get here, that's a big part of it. Mm. You know, the fentanyl is a lot cheaper, as you said, to produce and to sell. It's also a lot stronger, so people are buying more. Mm-hmm. And the fentanyl is so strong that they have diluted it with things such as the xylazine and other sedatives that now are creating another set of problems. Yeah. People are now developing, you know, a need, a desire for the xylazine as well as the, you know, the fentanyl. So we're just encouraging people, be very careful. Do not use alone. If you're not sure what's in what you have, use just a little bit to start, and go from there. Yeah.
And people, we've got to be clear too that people who are using and have substance use disorder, most of them at this point would love not to have that, right? I mean, whatever choice they made to get into the process of doing it, at some point the process takes over in your body. And your body needs it now. You're dependent on that substance. And that's the problem. That's the disease that we're talking about. And that's what needs the treatment and needs support.
Yeah. And we hear so often that individuals are using a certain amount just to not be sick. Mm-hmm. And I have heard so many individuals, the response to how you're doing today is another day in hell. I think there's a significant of individuals that would like to reduce or no longer be using at all. Mm-hmm. There are services for them. But again, it's not a straight line. And so we need to be ready to support individuals as they have those setbacks. Yep. Because unfortunately, it's part of the recovery process. And when they do have those setbacks and go back out, that's when they're the most vulnerable.
And public perception of this is changing and morphing as we go along, right? There's been a long process. You mentioned 2010 as sort of almost a baseline before, you know, the opioid crisis kind of started hitting. Yeah. And you know, let's face it, a lot of that also was the very easy access to things like OxyContin and things that were prescribed and overprescribed. And that's been in the news as well. There's plenty of blame to go around there as well, right? And then people who became addicted to to that substance from maybe it was a medical procedure, maybe it was back pain, maybe it was so many, you know, an accident that they had and they were overprescribed. And now, you know, then the prescription goes away because the doctors say, well, you shouldn't be on this. But guess what? The substance use disorder doesn't go away. And now those folks are like, well, I need this.
Yes.
So I'm going to find it. Right. And that's another pathway that people had taken to get where they get.
Yes, that's one we hear a lot.
So getting to public perception then, you know, the stigma of this has also started to change, right? That people are starting to understand a little better. We're not there yet completely. And make that comparison we were talking about off mic there before we got back on about how, you know, people with other diseases aren't looked down upon as much as people with substance use disorder.
In terms of what we're seeing in terms of changes and just more of a recognition among the general community that this is a very serious challenge and that it's a disease, just the fact that we now have over 120 Naloxone boxes up throughout the county, and those are where somebody can just take Naloxone, which is the injectable medication that can rapidly reverse an opioid overdose. It's easy to use. Yep, it's easy to use. There are no negative side effects to a non-opioid user. It's been used safely on pregnant women, on children who were thought to be having overdoses. There was a horrific incident in a daycare down in the Bronx a few years back. And it's even been used on pets. So the Naloxone is readily available, and people are utilizing it. And just, you know, where we have the Nalox boxes now, to me, is kind of to your point, Sean. For instance, Greylock Federal Credit Union has them up at four locations. We have multiple boxes at BCC, Williams College, MCLA. We have one down in Guido's in Great Barrington. We have them at a lot of public libraries, community centers. Lenox now has three. And so that's encouraging.
We have one right here outside.
And you
the
have
lobby
one right here.
PCTV
I'm sorry.
And WTVR-FM. We do. And I remember, I think you were on the show when the first box was rolling out or right around that time.
So I actually brought a box.
Yeah, you did. And so 120.
Yeah, 121 plus. Yeah. And in terms of stigma, I was at an event that was it was an outdoor event. It was near a senior center, so there were a lot of seniors there. And I was there to share information about Naloxone. And some individuals, some seniors would come by and say, I don't know anybody who does that. I don't need this. And then two people later, a senior would come by and share that they had lost a grandchild. Another senior comes by, I don't know anybody, I don't need this. And another senior comes by and talks about losing their adult child. And I think, you know, like if this was cancer, those individuals who had lost the child to cancer or had the child struggling with cancer, they would be supported by the those around them. But I think because it's substance use disorder, it's heroin or whatever, that people aren't sharing that they have a family member who's struggling. And I think it's important for all of us to consider and be careful about what we say, because the person next to us could have somebody that they love and care about very much who is struggling. So rather than judging and demonizing and all of that stuff, let's just, you know,
try to be understanding.
And give people
have a heart, have a little empathy, because it could be you. It could be your family member just as easily.
I've had people too who will share, I had no idea that so and so was struggling until they passed.
You know, and I think if I remember correctly, that there was a similar stigma about cancer.
Yeah.
You know, 60, 70 years ago, where people didn't talk about it. If somebody was dying of cancer, well, you just didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
So we've evolved there too. You know, we're okay to discussing and supporting people with that disease. Everybody has been touched by it one way or another. We know that, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just evolves. It takes a while, though. It takes a while of talking, like we're talking this morning about it, just to have an open conversation.
And if someone who's coming into Berkshire Harm Reduction, if they were to say to us, I want to stop, is there any way you could help me? We'd be right on that. We would be reaching out to programs, doing whatever we could to connect that person as quickly as possible to services, because what we find is you have a very short window. When mm-hmm. someone is wanting to stop, you have a very short window, and you want to try to get that individual into a treatment program, if possible, as quickly as you can to begin that process.
They might not reach out like that again. That might be their one time to say, well, let me ask. Let me ask if someone can help me. And if nobody helps them, they might say, well, that was, you know, I tried.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's, nobody's going to help me.
The other thing is that, like, when I've seen individuals, you know, I would see them, like, in residential programs, and they're doing well. And then a month later, I'd see them maybe back at McGee or at Clinical Stabilization Services, which is a step down from McKee. McKee's where people go to detox in Berkshire County. And I would see them at one of those places, and they're you know, they're feeling like crap. Mm-hmm. They're embarrassed. And, you know, and our response is, you are you kidding? You're right where you need to be. Good, you know, good for you. This takes courage.
Yeah.
And so people who have had the setback, and you see them still fighting. And one person in one of those locations once said to me, "I know what to do. I just got to do it." Mm-hmm. Another individual said, "My time not using is getting longer, and my time when I have setbacks before I try to get back into a place that can help me are getting shorter."
Mm.
And so
that's progress.
That's progress. And hopefully when those times when that individual does use, hopefully, you know, it's they're being as safe as they can when they use. And I know people say, well, you know, how can Berkshire Harm Reduction, you know, you guys are enabling, and people can think what they want. I wish they'd learn more about us, learn more about this dreadful disease. Mm. But also, if helping to keep somebody alive for another day is enabling, you bet we're enabling. Because that's, you know, everybody has, you know, we're all human beings, and, you know, we want to just try to help each other during these challenging times. I also see a lot of people working in the field now that when I first started doing this 6 or 7 years ago, I would run into them at different places where they were, you know, receiving services. And now they're in the field and they're giving back, and that's really great. And it's also, you know, if you're somebody who has been struggling for a while, what better person to talk to than somebody who's experienced some of what you're experiencing now?
So right.
There is hope.
Well, the old adage that you can't help someone after they're dead, right? So the whole point is, while they're here, if they need help, you get them the help.
Yeah.
And also the addiction or substance use disorder, we could talk about something that maybe a lot more people have connection with, which is trying to quit smoking.
Yeah.
And nicotine addiction, which is one of the strongest addictive substances that humans come in contact with, right? And and yet it's still very, very common. It's a legal substance that you can buy. You can buy as many cigarettes as you want.
Yeah.
You can, you know, stay. And the difficulty of getting off of that for your entire life is a process. So if people can understand how that works, maybe you have a little bit of understanding about how this works.
The same with alcohol.
And alcohol.
And you know, the only, well, there are many differences, but say alcohol typically takes a while to kill somebody.
Mm.
Cigarettes typically take a while. Whereas with the fentanyl, I mean, the overdose can literally be within a few minutes. And one of the things at Berkshire Harm Reduction is we encourage people who are actively injecting to perhaps consider something less harmful if they're, you know, they're going to continue to use, which would be smoking through a pipe, which is not safe per se, but it's less harmful than the injection. And say, for instance, you know,
it's part of the process.
Yeah,
it's a step.
Like, and the way I try to describe it to people, if somebody is a heavy drinker and they're drinking heavily, the body will help fight back by purging, throwing it up.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is a smoker and they're in, you know, taking too much into their lungs, the body will fight back, will help them to fight by coughing some of it out.
Mm.
You inject something, it's in you until it runs its course. That's why the injection process is so potentially dangerous, and particularly when you've got this overpowering doses of fentanyl.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And as you mentioned also, that the quitting is not an all or nothing game. And it takes a while. It can take a different path for every person who endeavors to do so, right? That you're going to have some setbacks. You're going to have some successes. It's not going to look, you know, nice and clean and neat. It's not going to be one day you're using and the next day you're clean forever.
Yeah. And there are also medicated assisted treatment programs where somebody can go and get a daily dose of a medication that will take away the cravings. Mm-hmm. Some of these doses have a little bit of the opioid in them, so it takes the edge off. But I had a friend a long time ago who was on a medicated assisted program like that and was doing great. And one time we were talking to a group of individuals in early recovery, and he said, you know, if somebody doesn't think I'm in recovery, and part of that is this medication, they should talk to my wife or my mother, because they will tell you what it was like before.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's got their own path, and let's try to stay out of each other's way in terms of judgment and support each other.
Right. We're speaking with Bob Dean this morning, if you're just joining us, talking about Berkshire Harm Reduction here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And there are trainings available for naloxone, right?
Yes, that's something else that Berkshire Harm Reduction does. We will go pretty much anywhere in Berkshire County and do a training on overdose awareness and how to use the naloxone. Hmm. And in terms
of... So some of that is identifying someone who might be in need of it,
yes.
Who might be in crisis?
Yep. And the signs of an overdose are somebody who appears to either be asleep or possibly not breathing or not breathing very well. So it's not somebody who's running around saying, I just touched fentanyl, I'm having an overdose. By the way, you're not going to get an overdose by touching fentanyl. It's somebody who, you know, what the opioids do is they reduce our breathing, and they can reduce our heart rate. And if we have enough, our breathing gets slower and slower till it stops, and then the heart beat gets slower and slower till it stops. So it's not somebody running around. It's somebody like, are you okay? That person doesn't seem to be breathing. They're slumped over. In that case, you would want to try to get that person to respond to you. You would say, Sean, can you answer me? Sean, I'm worried. Sean, please answer me. And here's one thing I was told at one of the places that works. Sean, if you don't answer me, I'm going to have to give you naloxone. And I was told that if somebody is able to respond, they will at that point, because they don't want to have the naloxone administered, which would, it's an opioid blocker. And so if they're enjoying being high where they are, that would end all of that. So if somebody doesn't respond after that, then you've got a serious situation. We suggest call 911. I'm with somebody who's not breathing. I'm with somebody who's not responding. And then you would administer the naloxone. Again, it's a nasal mist, and you would just want the head back, and you would put
it's like one spray in each nostril,
In the nostril, and you have one dose, one push, and 3 minutes, the person's not breathing well, you could do it in the other nostril. We're also encouraging people to do the rescue breathing if you are up to it, because the xylazine we talked about, that veterinary sedative, is not affected by the naloxone. So the naloxone can reverse the opioid overdose, but if somebody's also got the xylazine in them, they may still not be breathing very well at all. And that's the other reason to call 911, because you just don't know what's going on. People have asked, well, what happened if the person's having a stroke or a heart attack and you give them naloxone? That's not going to hurt them. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things we're told that first responders will do when they go on a scene, and after they get basic information, that they will do that, because it won't have negative side effects.
And the naloxone itself does not cause any harm. So
correct.
Even if someone isn't experiencing an overdose and they're given naloxone, not gonna bother them.
Correct. All naloxone does, it's kind of a miracle little medication. All it does is it can help reverse the overdose rapidly. It goes into the brain, and it kicks the opioids off of the brain receptors. It attaches instead. It's like a soccer goalie for 30, 60 minutes. It keeps the opioids off, but it doesn't eliminate the opioids. So once it wears off, somebody might, based on how much they have in their system, they could have another overdose. Or if they inject more and they've already got some in their system, that could be an overdose.
Buys you some time, basically, right?
Yes.
And buys the professional some time to get you the help you need to survive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this is about. When you're in overdose situation, you might not make it through that. And the naloxone gives you that time to stay alive, to get the professionals in, to give you the help you need and take that next step.
And anybody can administer it. It truly is easy. And, you know, I've done these overdose awareness presentations at libraries, community centers, senior centers. And one of the things we always hear is, oh, that's all it is? It's like, yeah, that's all it is. Mm. And as you said, that can buy time and it can help save that life.
Yeah. Bob Dean's my guest here this morning talking about Berkshire Harm Reduction and the program and the as things are moving along, that we are making progress. And that's, I guess, the good news. It's not back down to 4 deaths per year like we were in 2010, as Bob had mentioned, but it's not at the peak that we were at just a couple of years ago, right? Things are moving in the right direction.
There's a lot to do,
and it takes work to do that.
And it takes community awareness of what we're dealing with here, that it's not just a case of somebody's moral weakness or whatever. This is a disease, and once it gets its hooks into you, as you said, Sean, I think the cigarette smoking is a great example. Yeah. Once it gets into you, it's so hard.
Yeah.
So hard to stop. But even somebody, a cigarette smoker, if you can reduce to half a pack, you can reduce to whatever, that's better than whatever. So
yep, you got to take that effort to know that you need to work on it. It is at least somewhat up to the person, even though there is a substance use disorder. It is a disease.
Yep.
The person who is suffering from that also needs to step up and say, "I need to do this. I need to take control of this somehow." There are ways to do it. There's help out there. Berkshire Harm Reduction, we're talking about right now, is one of those really great services. And they can also connect you with other services that are available here in Berkshire County.
And we're located at 42 Summer Street here in Pittsfield, second floor. And in North Adams, we're 6 West Main Street.
Hmm. So right up the street from Main Street there.
Yeah.
there is also a mobile outreach unit, which is kind of winding down for the season from what I can see on the website. But it looks like there is one more date where the unit goes out on Monday the 29th. That's next Monday at St. Joseph Church here in Pittsfield. What's the mobile unit like? What does it do?
Well, it basically can provide many of the same services that Berkshire Harm Reduction's 2 locations can provide. Mm. So somebody can bring in used syringes and we can take care of those for that individual. We can also do exchanges and we can also do testing. We, by the way, have a great hepatitis C program where if somebody tests positive, we can begin treatment with them through Berkshire Harm Reduction, even though they're still actively using. Most programs require somebody to stop, whether it's the alcohol or the opioids, before they go into the program. We do not, because we just feel that's just not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And we have heard that when people, when the Hep C gets knocked out, they feel much better and their body's able to fight the other things that their body is being challenged with.
Yeah. And Hep C itself is a very dangerous outcome, right?
I mean, yes.
That's
yeah.
Part and parcel of that. You want to be able to take care of that early.
Yeah, and that's another reason why it's so important to take in those used syringes and give people the new unused ones, not to spread that stuff.
Yeah. And so if people want more information about Berkshire Harm Reduction, I see that there is a website, and probably the easiest way to find it is just to Google Berkshire Harm Reduction.
Yep.
That's what I did this morning and found it right there. It's a little bit of a longer link to be able to type in. It has to do with BerkshireHealthSystems.org. But once you get there, you'll find it, and you'll find some of the dates of the mobile outreach, which, again, is winding down. But you've got some good phone numbers there, and you've got some other good information on that about the trainings, education, safe supplies, delivery services. All that stuff is on the website. Right?
Right.
Yes. Bob Dean, before we go, we've only got about a minute left. One more time on the Home Energy Assistance Program. Applications are open and available right now for heating assistance for the coming year, which unfortunately the heating system season is right around the corner. Yep. And what's the best way for people to do that?
People, 8,000 households have already or should be receiving an application that was mailed to them because they received the services last year. So we're encouraging those 8,000 households, fill that application out as best you can, get it in as quickly as you can, so BCAC can begin the processing of that. If they need additional information, they will let you know. For new applicants, somebody who has not applied before, did not receive it last year, call BCAC and indicate that you're a new applicant. BCAC will call you back and can begin the application process with you over the phone and then mail you the application that they've started.
So the best thing is mail that application in. If you're one of the 8,000 people that got it in the mail, do that first. If you need to call, call 445-4503 in Pittsfield, Central and South, and then 663-3014 up in North County. That is the best way. You'll get a call back eventually. Get yourself in the queue for that heating assistance. Bob Dean, thank you for being here today.
Thank you,
Always
Sean.
Always great to talk to you. Good, very useful information. We appreciate
Always
it.
Appreciate you fitting us in and sharing all of this information with your audience. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here. And thanks for listening, folks, this morning. We'll be back again tomorrow with another live edition of Morning Drive. Take care. Get in my car. Drive.